This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you some beautiful Christian music by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, and wind down this week's installments in our verse-by-verse study of the Book of Acts, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, of course, this series will continue next week and many weeks to come, so try not to miss a single Monday through Friday installment in this great series. Of course, Saturday and Sunday have their own special series that I hope you can hear. Well, right now, let's hear Beneath the Cross of Jesus, and then Dr. Green.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Now, gracious Heavenly Father, as we open Thy Word to continue our study today, I pray for wisdom, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, unction from Almighty God, speak to my heart, and speak through these lips of clay in Jesus' name. Amen. We are studying Acts 11, and yesterday I read down through verse 15. Now, Peter is rehearsing his experience at the house of Cornelius to the Jews in Judea. Now, let me begin, please, with verse 14. And in verse 14, Acts 11, 14, Peter said to the Jews that the angel said to Cornelius that Peter shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. S-A-V-E-D, saved. Now, I can't talk too much about that. You talk about repeating, I should preach, well, Paul preached 3 years in one place, and we'll see right over here in verse 26, we read that they were there for 12 solid months. 12 months he preached. Now, listen what we have in the next verse. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, on the day, on the day of Pentecost, of course, the Jews were baptized in or by the Holy Ghost, and then the Samaritans and now the Gentiles. But the thing that I want to emphasize is this. In the house of Cornelius, Peter didn't lay his hands on them. In the house of Cornelius, there was no sound as of a mighty rushing wind. In the house of Cornelius, there were no cloven tongues like as a fire. In the house of Cornelius, Peter was simply preaching the word of God. He declared that God is no respecter of persons. He declared that they arrested Jesus and they crucified him. They hanged him on a tree. He declared that God raised him. And then he said, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on all who heard the word. Now that's in chapter 10, verse 44. Now, beloved, I want you to listen very carefully, because it is so easy for people to hear what they want to hear, and then they tell a thing like they want to tell it. But you be sure now and listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. I know that there are people who have sincerely, I know them personally, that have sincerely sought the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence, speaking with other tongues. They have sought the gift. They've prayed for it for months, and they've gone to the altar many, many times seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But they have not received what they seek, that is, tongues. Now, in the house of Cornelius, they spoke with tongues and they magnified God. And, of course, the Jews understood, because they knew that they were magnifying God, and so they understood the language. There were no unknown tongues at Pentecost. There were no unknown tongues when the Samaritans received the Holy Ghost. There were no unknown tongues when the house of Cornelius received the Holy Ghost. The unknown tongue was born in the Corinthian church, and that's altogether different, and we'll say more about that later on as the series continues. But here's the thing that I want you to see today. Peter teaches here just as clearly as anything could be taught that we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost when we hear the Word of God. Now, beloved, please don't think that I'm a critic. I love the Lord. I'm saved. I'm born again. I hate the devil. I hate sin. I hate liberalism. I hate modernism. And I deplore the state of the church today. But the answer to the need in the church, now you hear me well, and you underline as I speak the words I speak. The great need in the church, and when I say church, let me change that, in the visible churches, let me change it. Because there is definitely a difference in the local assembly and the church of the living God. The church of the living God, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I think you must admit that the gates of hell certainly have wrecked some local churches. Local churches have been split, and the split has split, and the split that split has split. And somebody said about all you have now is splinters, and that's about right. And I'll guarantee you, my friend, that that will never happen to the church of the living God. Now, it makes me sad when I look at the condition of local churches on many occasions. All it is a social club where they have more suppers and feeds and feasts and parties and outings than they do revival services. And you know it's the truth. You know it. I'm not critical. Then we have other churches, of course, that are just as dedicated and separated as they can be. But I'm saying the greatest need in the church today is not for the membership to go to the altar and seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's not the greatest need. Every born-again, blood-washed child of God has the Holy Ghost. We need to go to the altar and present our bodies a living sacrifice. We need to go to the altar and present our members unto God as instruments of righteousness. We need to go to the altar and say, Lord God, fill me, Ephesians 5:18. Fill me with thy spirit, and then sing psalms and make melody in our own heart. And I'll guarantee you, now listen to me very carefully. I'll guarantee you, a singing Christian and a Christian making melody and a Christian praising God will be a soul-winning Christian. And the greatest need of this hour is to win souls, because the mass of humanity is lost and without God and without hope. And we need to go out and bring them in. And the thing that we need is for the Christians to yield. They already have the Holy Ghost. They already possess the Holy Ghost. They need to yield to the Holy Ghost. Let me say this to you now. You don't get part of the Holy Ghost. You don't possess part of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a person just as truly as Jesus is a person. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity, and when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive all the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost may not have you fully, completely, because Paul did beg the Romans to present their bodies, and Paul said to the Thessalonians to be sanctified soul, spirit, and body. Now then, let's get back to this, because I want you to see today that as Peter began to speak, verse 15, as he began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Now, that was on the day of Pentecost. Now, let me show you something. On the day of Pentecost, they were praying. Now, I don't know what type of prayer they were praying. The prayer is not recorded. We do not have the record of the prayer prayed by the 120 on the day of Pentecost. I don't know what they were praying. But I want to inform you that in the house of Cornelius, they were not praying. They were sitting, no doubt, on chairs or benches or maybe on the floor. I don't know. There were a great number, all the household, servants, all the people. Peter said there were a great number there. And they were either sitting in chairs or on benches or sitting on the ground. And as they sat and listened to the Word of God, they weren't praying. They weren't begging. They weren't praying, oh God. Now don't think, God bless you. Now don't you ever accuse me of being sacrilegious. God bless you. I'll guarantee you, if I was going to be sarcastic, I'd never be sarcastic about the Holy Spirit. Now you mark that, because you blaspheme the Holy Spirit and you're headed for hell just as sure as the sun rises. Now here's what I'm saying. They were not praying and begging, oh God, baptize me, or oh God, give me thy spirit, or oh God, send the Holy Ghost. They were not praying. They were listening, and faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by listening, and you receive the Holy Ghost by faith. You can't pray the Holy Ghost into your heart. You can't pray long enough, loud enough, or weep enough to get the Holy Ghost. If you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit by faith. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as they sat and listened to Peter, as he preached the Word of God, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Now that was Pentecost. Now listen to this. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us. Now wait a minute. I do hope you have your Bible. I hope every Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Roman Catholics, oh, you'd be surprised, beloved. Let me tell you something. You'd be surprised at the letters I get from Roman Catholics and Jews. Yes, sir. I mean Jews, Roman Catholics. You'd be surprised at the letters I get. I receive mail from Russians, people from Russia in this country, and Poland, and Czechoslovakia, and French. I had a precious French lady write me the other day, saved through the Gospel Hour. Listen, we get mail from every denomination, every religion under the sun. And I give them the same gospel that I'm giving you on the radio. I give them the same gospel. I don't have one gospel for one man and another for another, because there is only one pure gospel. Now here's what I'm saying. I want you to look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Acts 11:17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us. Now, God gave the house of Cornelius, God gave them the same thing, the same gift that he gave the disciples on the day of Pentecost. But there were no sounds, there were no cloven tongues. And so far as I can understand here, they spoke only one language, they spoke in other tongues, they spoke with tongues rather. With tongues, verse 46, but the Jews understood him, Peter understood him, because he knew they were praising God, and he tells it, he rehearses it to the other Jews. Now here's how they got the Holy Ghost. I don't like that language, but that's what people use. He got the Holy Ghost. I don't like that. I like to say that he received the Lord Jesus. He was born of the Spirit. He, the Holy Ghost, came into his heart. Now let's read this, verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us the gift when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, why can't you see that? Listen, let me say this to you. I have two sons. I have two sons. I have a little grandson. Beloved, I would give my sons and my little grandson, I'd give them anything in my power to make them happy. Now, I don't mean by that I'd be foolish. I'm not talking about that. But anything reasonable and anything practical, let me put it this way. I wouldn't buy my little grandson anything that would hurt him or he'd get hurt. I wouldn't spend hundreds of dollars on him for toys. I wouldn't do that. That would be very foolish. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about sensible reasoning. That's what I'm talking about. I would buy my sons anything that I was able, physically and financially able to buy, to make their life happy and complete and to help them. I'd do anything in my power to help my boys and my little grandson. Well, now, if I do that, do you think God would force me to get on my knees and beg and plead and cry and weep and beg and beg and beg and agonize for God to give me the Holy Ghost when it is the good pleasure of God to give the Holy Spirit to all who ask Him? Suppose my oldest son, Tommy, who is now a lawyer and practicing law and has been for more than a year, the youngest member of the bar in our territory here, suppose Tommy should come to me and say, Dad, my shoes have worn out and my feet are cold, or my feet get wet when it rains, and I wish you'd buy me a pair of shoes. Now, do you think I'd make him get out? Now, you say, preacher, this is a silly illustration. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. God bless you. No, it isn't a silly illustration either. This is a very timely illustration. Jesus talked about the little chickens. Uh-huh. The lilies, yeah. The little lilies out on the hillside. Is that silly? The little chickens and an old mother hen. Is that silly? He talked about the sower. He talked about the little sparrows. And there are hundreds of them outside my window. Every day they're out there in the yard, in the trees. And I can see the little sparrows as I sit here preaching on the radio. Is it silly to talk about sparrows? It's not silly for me to talk about my son coming to me and saying, Dad, my feet are cold. I need a new pair of shoes. Or, Dad, I don't have a good warm overcoat in the wintertime, of course. I don't have a good warm overcoat. And I'm cold. And I wish you'd buy me an overcoat. Now, do you think I'd say you get down on your knees and you beg and you plead and you cry and you weep and I'll get you one? Well, that's what you're saying. Let me tell you something. God Almighty will give His child anything, everything, all things that the child of God will receive to glorify God. Now, God's not going to give you anything to use to glorify yourself and to build a name and to make a big name and a big show. God's not in the show business. Now put that down. God's not in the show business. But whatever you need, wisdom, understanding, power, the fullness of the Spirit, and complete surrender, whatever you need, all in this world God wants you to do is ask for it. That's all. Ask, that's all. Believe, that's what it is. Believing, asking, receiving. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, God gave them the same baptism that He gave us who believed on Jesus Christ. Now what was I that I should withstand God? Now of course He's speaking to the Jews who yesterday I told you they rebuked Him for eating with Gentile dogs. But Peter said, now I had to do what God said. When they heard these things, verse 18, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, them hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now, Cornelius was a good man. We read in Acts 10. He was a devout man. He was a praying man. He feared God and he gave a lot of money. But he wasn't saved. He was saved the day that Peter went to his house. He was saved. He received the Holy Ghost. He received salvation. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He received the gift to speak with other tongues, and he spoke with other tongues, and he magnified God. And the Jews heard it, Peter understood it, went back and reported in Judea what had happened. Now look at verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Now you remember back in Acts 8:4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. That's in Acts 8:4. When Stephen was stoned and Saul consented to the persecution of the church, then they went on down to Phoenix and, and Antioch preaching the word, look at it, preaching the word, amen, glory to God, amen. Preaching the word, that's what the world needs, that's what preachers need to do, that's what the church needs, the pure, simple word of God without denominational slants. Folks are looking for something new today, something new. Tell me the old story. That's what I want. That's what the world's dying for. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, you see. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed. Great numbers believed. Now, if the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the next thing after salvation, and if the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the next step with the evidence of tongues, then why doesn't the Bible say, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned to the Lord, and sought the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and spake with tongues? Now, why isn't it there? It just isn't there, that's all. It just isn't there. The baptism came upon Jews, Pentecost, Samaritans, where Philip preached, the house of Cornelius, Gentiles, and then number four, Acts 19, the 12 disciples of John the Baptist who had never heard about the Holy Ghost. Four occasions, we have the Holy Ghost coming upon groups, and we'll emphasize that and show you later. Now, we read verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. They appointed him a missionary, and he went down to Antioch. And of course, we read on down, who then, when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost. But there's not one word where Barnabas ever spoke with tongues. You can't find any word, any suggestion where Barnabas ever spoke with tongues, but he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul, and when they had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass a whole year, 12 months, they assembled. Think of that, 12 months, one solid year, they went to church. They had a revival that lasted a year. In this day and age, if we continue services for a week, most people are tired out and they can't attend all the services. But then they attended for 12 solid months and studied and fellowshipped around the Word of God, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's extremely interesting, and we'll study that on the next broadcast in the series. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Save souls, especially that soul that is nearest hell today without God. Save that church member, our Father, who joined the church, but they've never been born again. Save them by thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. My dad has finished teaching us for this broadcast, but I do have a few moments left, and I want to spend that time telling you about Gift Offer G, a wonderful offer. I know you will want to have this gift offer in your home. It's Gift Offer G is in green, and it's a special offer in honor of my dad's birthday, which was on February the 14th. He was a Valentine's baby. Now, Gift Offer G contains a DVD video plus a CD about that, and also a musical CD that I know you will enjoy. And all of this is in Gift Offer G, and it's available to you if you ask for it by name, Offer G, or the birthday offer, and send a donation of at least $25. And if you would like to order several sets of this offer to share with others, you may do so. Just tell me how many sets you want, and please send a donation of at least $25 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you my dad's autobiography, From Disgrace to Grace. And it is a 124 pages long, perfect bound book in three parts, the original autobiography by my dad with additions that he made before his death. Then I have written a retrospective about the Gospel Hour going forward, and finally, some beautiful, wonderful photos of my dad and his family in the tent, and so on. Then we have From Disgrace to Grace, the DVD and CD. Now, the DVD contains the story of my dad's birth and growing up and so on, and he also preaches his testimony of how he became a Christian. And behind that, we have beautiful pictures and so on, and I know you will enjoy that. We also have some interviews with, for instance, my Uncle Bennett, who was with my dad for many years, and other testimonies from preachers and part of the staff and so on. So a wonderful DVD, about 45 minutes long. Then we have a CD that goes with that of the conversion testimony and my dad's sermon on his favorite verse. That way you can listen in the car or otherwise if you don't have the DVD player. Then we have our founder's favorite hymns, 14 great songs that my mom and I picked out as being his favorite songs, such as Tell Me the Story of Jesus, The Old Rugged Cross, Oh Happy Day, and Almost Persuaded, and so on. So to get the DVD and the CDs, just ask for Gift Offer G and send your gift of at least $25. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.